Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode of In the Footsteps of the Prophet Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. This is where we learn about the seerah, the biography, the life, the events which transpired during the blessed lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. In order for us to learn about the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Remember, there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon Rasulullah, the greatest of all mankind, and the peace of our hearts and our minds. The most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra. That he who recites salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. What if viewers, we should make it a regular habit of ours to send salawat upon the greatest of all mankind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. Make it a regular habit of yours to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, inshallah, you shall be rewarded greatly Inshallah wa azza wa jal. Now, previously, mashallah, we had learned a little about the background, the geographical background of the area Makkah al-Mukarrama, as well as the entire Jazeera, Yemen, the Roman, the Persian empires, etc. We heard a little about the idols, as well as some events from the life of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, the son of Sayyidina Hashim. And today, inshallah, we shall learn about another incident during the life of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, as well as the early life of Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the father of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Yes, try to at least remember, we would all know the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we not know? But his father's name was Abdullah, yes, who was the son of Abdul Muttalib. We said his real name was Ashayba, yes, but famously known as Abdul Muttalib, yes, Abdul Muttalib. And then who is the son of Hashim, whose real name was Amr, who is known as Hashim due to his generosity and how he would feed the poor, etc. So this was Sayyidina Hashim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now today, inshallah, we will be learning about the vow. This is one of the incidents, and maybe even we'll get to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But a very, very significant event in history was one of the vows of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, we heard previously, he built or he dug up, yes, the well of Zamzam. When he dug up that well of Zamzam, we previously heard that Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, he was approached by the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, by the rest of the Quraysh. He, along with his son Harith, were ready to dig this well. And what happened? They came to him and things became heated. And it was close that they would have fighted, yes. And when Abdul Muttalib, he pondered over this situation, he thought about this, look, the people are going to fight me and all I have is my son. So then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he does dua. He does dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he makes a vow. He says, oh Allah, I ask for 10 children and if you grant me 10 sons, this is one son, Harith at the time. He says, "Oh Allah, grant me 10. Why? Because if I had 10 sons, then I'll be strong. Yes, if I had 10 sons, I'll be strong." He says, "Oh Allah, grant me 10 sons. And if you are to grant me 10 sons, I will sacrifice one for yourself." Allahu Akbar, what a vow to make. Grant me 10 children and I shall sacrifice one for yourself. Of course, time had passed, many years had passed. We learned previously that Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, he was given 10 sons. Some have stated later he had even more children. But when Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib was given 10 sons, then he had to fulfill his oath. His oath was, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to give him 10 children, then one would be sacrificed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does Abdul Muttalib, what can he do? He didn't wish to sacrifice, of course, a person wouldn't wish to sacrifice any of his sons. Yes? But he promised his son all to sacrifice one. So what does he do? It's said in the Abdul Muttalib, he takes some advice and then he draws lots. And when he did this, from the 10 children, who was chosen? Abdullah. So now that's it, he had thrown the arrows. Abdullah was chosen. Now what does he do? What could he do? Some have stated that he even got up preparing to sacrifice Abdullah, but other people stopped him. Yes? And other people said, no, see reason, he can't sacrifice his son. If you're going to begin this tradition, then people later would also do this. No, this cannot be done. He says, what is my way out? I've sworn an oath. What can I do? A lady, a woman, she says, what is the blood money given to your people? If a person was to be killed, if a person was to be murdered, how much blood money, how much is a person in a way worth? How much money do you give? How much wealth do you give in return for a person who has been murdered? And the answer was 10 camels. He says, okay, you would give 10 camels, and what you need to do is take 10 camels. Place 10 camels on one side and place Abdullah on another and again throw the lots. And then if it is Abdullah chosen again, then add another 10. And if it was to happen again, then add another 10 until it is the camels that are chosen, and then slaughter the camels. And this is what they did. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, he took 10 camels. He was very rich. Remember, during the time of Abraha, there were 200 Ba'id, 200 camels, which were taken from him. Yes, yeah, so he was very, very rich, Abdul Muttalib was. He was also at the head of his tribe at the time. So he had all of these camels, yes, and he places 10 on one side. And then he also takes Sayyidina Abdullah and son Sayyidina Abdullah, and then again the arrows are thrown. Who is chosen? Is it the camels or is it Sayyidina Abdullah? It was Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So then what does he do? Again, he adds another 10 camels. Now there's 20 camels and then Sayyidina Abdullah again. They throw the lots. Who's chosen? Is the camels or Abdullah? Again, Sayyidina Abdullah. He does the same again. He adds another 10 camels, again Abdullah. Another 10 camels, again Abdullah. Another 10 camels, again Abdullah. And this continues and continues. 40 camels, 50 camels, 60 camels, 70, 80, 90, 100 camels. Wow. That is a huge amount. That is a great amount of wealth. 100 camels. This was his sincerity. Yes, and his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sworn an oath. These people, it's stated about the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, about the people of Jazirat al-Arab, especially Makkah al-Mukarramah of the time. Yes, of the time, that they did not use to lie. They would not break oath. Yes, these people would not break oaths. No, he had sworn an oath that 100 camels is prepared to give. He's prepared to give more. Again, he throws arrows. And this time he lands on the camels. But shall I tell you what? Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib was so great that the people, they were excited. Oh, now they'll say, okay, sacrifice the camels. Abdul Muttalib says, no, not yet. Once is not enough. He says, throw it 3 times. He throws it a second time. Again, he goes to the camels. He throws it a third time. Again, it goes to the camels. He says, now I am satisfied. And then these 100 camels were sacrificed. Yes. And the meat was distributed, was given. Nobody was held back, is what it states. Nobody was held back from coming and consuming the meat of the camels. So Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would state that Ana ibn al-dhabihain, because his father was to be a dhabih, his father was to be sacrificed. And similarly, his forefather, going back to the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was ordered to sacrifice his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, who is also dhabihullah. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would state, Ana ibn al-dhabihain, I am the son of the two dhabih, meaning that which is to be sacrificed. One, his father, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as his forefather, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we said his name was Abdullah. We don't know very much about the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, other than now, you know, the incident of when it comes to one, that he was at the age of 18 or so when Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets married. And there's also the incident of the marriage of Sayyidina Abdullah, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, quite a famous incident and quite a beautiful incident too. So I said the time came when, so you know, these years and years are skipped now. What happened was Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes Sayyidina Abdullah to go now and to meet his future spouse, to meet his future wife. And as he is taking Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then what happens is, along the way, possibly Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib is possibly conversing with somebody else, but there is a lady, there is a woman, and this woman from the tribe of the Banu Asad, when she saw him, she looked upon him and she asks him, "Where are you going, O Abdullah? O Abdullah, where are you going?" Sayyidina Abdullah, he replies, he says, "I'm going with my father. I'm going with my father. Wherever my father is going to take me, that's it. That's good enough. I don't need to know where I'm going. I'm going with my father." Yes? And then she replies and she says, "If you will take me, yes, then you can have as many camels. I will give you as many camels as those that were sacrificed for you." Meaning, remember the incident when Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib sacrificed 100 camels for Sayyidina Abdullah? So she said, basically, you marry me and I'll give you wealth. You marry me? This is the woman saying, "You marry me, I'll give you 100 camels." Wow, must have been very, very rich. "I will give you 100 camels if you marry me." What is the reply? He says that right now I am with my father and I cannot go against his wishes, meaning I'm going with my father. Wow, somebody, a lady has asked, and this was normal, you know, for the time, just to go and ask somebody to marry them, etc. Yes, so she approaches him and she says, "I wish to marry you." But he replies, "I'm with my father." This is his reply. "I'm with my father. I can't go against his wishes. I say I have to go with my father now." And then they go, and they go to Wahab ibn Abd Manaf, who had a daughter. Yes, he was from the Banu Zuhra, and he had a daughter by the name of Amina, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Amina at the time was the most noble lady of the Quraysh. Remember, my dear viewers, that the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was all maternally, whether it's for the mother or even the father. It was of the most noble of people. The most noble of all people. His lineage was the greatest of lineage. Yes? And Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of Wahab, yes? She was the most noble of lineages. And Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu and Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, both of them of the greatest lineages of the time, they marry each other. They marry each other and stated that Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he consummated the marriage possibly on the very same night. And what happens later is possibly the next day or sometime later, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu, again he's traveling and he sees that woman again. the very same woman who offered to marry him. Now when he sees it, he says to her, why is it that before you offered to marry me, but this time you're not offering to marry me? What's the problem? Why are you not offering to marry me? Remember, it was normal for men to marry more than one woman. So if a person was to marry one woman, this would not put another woman off from marrying the same man. This is why he was quite amazed. He says, okay, the other day you were offering to give 100 camels even just to marry me. What's happened today? What is the issue? And my dear viewers, the reply she gives is most beautiful. She replies and she says, no, the reason why I wish to marry you was that I saw a light in your forehead. I saw a light in your forehead, but then you went and married Amina, and she took that blaze away from you. She took that light away from you. You no longer have that now. And that's why I no longer have an interest in marrying you. And she says, this was the reason, you know, I saw the light in your forehead, and that's why I wish to marry you. I wished for that great prophet to come from my lineage, but it was given to say the Amina. And this was the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we stated previously, was placed in Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was passed to Sayyidina Hawa radhiyallahu anha, and then to the child. Yes? And then the greatest, it passed from lineage, from generation to generation to generation, until it was given to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhu, until it was given to Sayyidina Abdullah radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and then passed on to Sayyidina Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and then it was given a bodily form, the greatest of all forms, to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she then, you can say, became pregnant, yes? She was, she had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her womb. Now Sayyidina Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, inshallah, next episode we shall hear possibly about the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just a little about even the pregnancy, the duration when Sayyidina Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she had Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in her womb. It said that normally a woman would suffer from migraines. Now those that are aware, especially sisters that would be aware, yes, and those who are aware, oh, the sisters or their wives, their situation, would know and understand that bearing a child is very, 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 very difficult. No matter how many times I say very doesn't make it, it is very, very difficult. Yes, and women go through so much hardship, so much difficulty when bearing a child. But Sayyidina Amina radhiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that I used to hear other women telling me about the difficulties of having a child. That they would have migraines, they would have headaches, they would have stomach pain, yes, they would have sleepless nights, they would have sickness, etc., etc. But she says, I never felt any of that. I never experienced no hardship. I never experienced no headache, no sickness, no this, no that. It was all ease. And she was even approached in her dreams, yes, where she was told that you have within your womb the master of all creation. You have within you the greatest, the leader of all creation, the leader of all mankind, the leader of all people. And, you know, the events which she states that some would say that, okay, did she feel pain? Did she not feel any pain? And there are some narration where she did feel some pain, but some have stated that was for her to feel the relief when the pain was, that was at the beginning stages, for her to be able to feel the relief for that pain to go. And this is what is mentioned in Sharh al-Zurqani al-Mawahib, upon the book al-Mawahib al-Ladunya, a beautiful book on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if you some of the inshallah, then Sayyidina Amina radhiallahu ta'ala anha, as she gives birth to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And inshallah azza wa jal, in the next episode, we shall come to hear a little about the events which took place during the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala sallam. But one more thing just before. One thing, my dear viewers, inshallah, is that we are learning the seerah, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would encourage you, please, try to note down whatever you can. Wherever you learn things, try to write. Yes, take hold of knowledge, trap knowledge by writing things down. Write down as much as you can, but also try to learn as much about the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as possible, as much as you can. Why? Because it will increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As well as this, share this information with others. Get your children to sit down and watch too, so that they can learn about the events, the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because children love stories. Children, they love stories. Everybody is part of being human. You love to hear stories, yes? So why not hear the real life stories, those of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those incidents which took place during his life, inshallah azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Madrin channel, you are watching the program In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please, that's all for today, inshallah. Please do join us again for another episode. In the next episode, inshallah azza wa jal, we shall hear about the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. That's all for today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.